Hello, everyone. I'm John Melky. Today's show is a little scary. Scary for me because I'm joined by not one, but two highly respected radio professionals, two people whose voices are well-known in southeastern Wisconsin, Tom Carko and Janet Hoff. Tom and Janet, welcome to Parkside Today.
Thank you very much, John.
Tom is a Racine native and a 1979 graduate of UW-Parkside. Tom has been a reporter in the Racine-Kenosha area since 1976, 39 of those years at WRJN. Tom has been a member of the Racine County's Local Emergency Planning Committee since its origin in 1987. And this one I thought was kind of interesting. He was also a City of Racine municipal softball umpire for 30 years.
My father volunteered me to get into that. He did it for 30 years as well.
Now that
after having played ball in the City of Racine and in parts of Kenosha for many, many years, he wanted to stay in touch with baseball, and that's his way of having done that.
Wow, interesting. Janet Hoff is originally from Martinsburg, West Virginia, and is a 1976 graduate of Indiana University. She's been a news reporter in the Kenosha-Racine area since 1978, 18 years at WLIP in Kenosha, and 14 years at WRJN. Now, here's something really interesting. Janet has been married since 1984 and has one son. Tom has been married since 1984 and has one son.
Hmm. That sounds very strange.
Yeah. Janet, how did that happen?
Janet's son, it gets even stranger.
Oh, okay.
Janet's son graduated from UW-Parkside, and Tom's son graduated from UW-Parkside. Is this a coincidence? Or? So I'm just curious. I thought it was interesting when I first learned that you guys were married, and I wondered, do you think that the people who heard you each day on WRJN, did they know that? Was it a part of, or what was that like?
It was never a secret, but we didn't advertise it. It was just kind of it was what it was. And I mean, we were married when we were working at competing radio stations.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it wasn't just when I came to RJN that happened. Well, we'd been married for years before that.
Right.
So it was just sort of one of those things you didn't mention.
Yeah.
And if somebody asked, it wasn't a secret.
Oh, yeah. We told a number of people.
Yeah.
And they knew. Although we found out after we retired at the end of September, and we found out that Mayor Corey Mason and Racine did not know that we were married.
And there were a couple of other people I think I've run into so far. I didn't know that.
It wasn't something we broadcast because it wasn't germane to the situation.
Yeah, it wasn't relative to the job. So.
When we got married in 1984, she asked the question, I should change my name. I said, you built your reputation as Janet Hoff in Kenosha.
Yeah.
You keep that.
Yeah, right, yeah. How did you, Janet, go from making the move from Kenosha Radio, WLIP, to WRJN?
I had been laid off, as they put it, at the job at LIP when they did a downsizing of the staff.
Oh, okay.
And I actually worked for the American Red Cross for 2 years.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. While doing stringing work for him.
But during that time, she also did, did Kenosha work because RJN at the time, I was trying to get things more into Kenosha, which would involve council, county board, school board, whatever the case. And she provided that expertise. And so she went to meetings and gave us stories. When we had lapses in employment at RJN, when people left, we had vacancies until we filled them. We had to put somebody in, and she knew what we were doing, and so she came right in, and it was smooth transition.
And just kind of stayed.
Yeah. We got to the point. Well, it was my decision to say, I told our general manager, I believe it was Tim Enos at the time, there's nobody more qualified to be doing what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
You can't find anybody with that kind of background and that much expertise and knowledge of how it all works around here.
Right.
She's right there.
Yeah.
Let's do it. And that's the way it was.
Yeah. Interesting. What, as far as maybe you could make a case that the two of you may know southeastern Wisconsin, the Racine Kenosha communities, maybe better than not very many people know it as well as you do because of what you do in terms of covering government and talking with organizations and businesses. What does southeastern Wisconsin look like to you guys right now through the lens of having covered things here for 3-4 decades.
I know that most recently, with everything that has happened, Foxconn, Amazon, and all the other companies that are starting to filter in, there was that great period where nothing seemed to be happening. And so many companies had left Racine.
Right.
Kenosha had lost Chrysler. And it seemed to be going downhill.
Yeah.
And now all of a sudden there is a resurgence. There's optimism. There's always got to be great caution with things because you never know what can happen. It's not always rosy. And there's going to be some steps backward before you move forward sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is a potential for things to really take off. And one thing builds on another, like the domino effect.
Mm-hmm.
Similar with downtown Racine. There was the property just east of Monument Square. There were two theaters there, some older buildings. They eventually tore them down. The hotel that was there, too, stayed vacant for years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All of a sudden, Sam Johnson, they build this big building.
Yeah. There,
and that helps set the stage for other things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it took off after that.
Right.
It's still, they've had some setbacks since. You're always going to have that. There's an evolution,
right,
that happens,
right,
in a community.
Yeah.
I think that's potentially what's going to happen in this area as well. One thing builds on another.
Mm-hmm.
I think even in Kenosha, I mean, Mayor Andramian has got a vision for what he's hoping can go forward,
mm-hmm,
and it takes time. People want everything right away because that's society today.
Yeah.
But, and Jan knows Mayor Andramian better than I do. She's known him for many, many years, mm-hmm, before he was the mayor.
Since, mm-hmm, he's been in there, since he started in the legislature.
Yeah, so, okay.
A long time, but yeah. It was interesting to go through that whole transition when Chrysler left. And suddenly your major employer is gone.
Right.
And people are literally losing their homes and their cars because they have no income anymore, nowhere to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting to see the transition, how the downside looked for smaller industries, the industries that were stable, that would come in and hire, even if they only hired 20 or 30 people, it was still 20 or 30 more people who had jobs and could move on. And then Pleasant Prairie came up. They had the We Energies created Wisp Park,
right.
And and suddenly things started to turn around, and I'm hoping that's happening again, because I mean it's been down for a while. I mean things have been moving. As I said, we had Amazon and things, but
mm-hmm,
something that was going to come in and really make a change. And County Executive Jonathan Delagrave likes to use the word transformational, and we can all hope that that's what Foxconn is going to be. And it'll be interesting to see how it works exactly. Like I said, how the domino effect will work.
From the standpoint of the two cities, do you've covered both cities? Do you see the two of them being maybe more closely aligned today than if you go back to, let's say, that time in the early mid '80s when there's the downturn because of Chrysler leaving and that's causes people in Kenosha to kind of pull together and create the Wisp Park and create those opportunities. Are the two cities different today than they were then?
Oh, are they different than they were then? Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Well, they still
there's
have
no doubt about
no
that.
No question.
And there always will remain differences. And the leaders of both communities have to be, they have to understand that they're, they have to go for their own community. They can't really be worried about the other one.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the lines of communication are open and are probably as open, as wide as they've ever been.
You've got two gentlemen in leadership positions for cities, John Andramian and Corey Mason, who, of course, were in the state legislature. And
right.
Mayor Andramian has kept ties, obviously, with members of the Assembly and the Senate and lawmakers, others in Madison.
Mm-hmm.
Having that access, and Corey Mason, same thing. He still knows people. I will go back to the gentleman whose name may ring a bell, Jim Rooney in Racine.
Mm-hmm.
Longtime state lawyer. He was a local politician, became a well-known state lawmaker, and he was always looking out for the community. Even now, when he's doing things, he's chair of the Harbor Commission, I still believe.
Mm.
It's been 2 months. I haven't thought about this in a while. But this is a guy that he knows people. He talks to people. He's He's like the late Joe Andrea was. We were just talking about
Joe Andrea.
Just a little a while ago before we came here. And Joe Andrea crossed all lines to get things done for the community.
Yeah.
These gentlemen, Mayor Andoramian, Corey Mason, they're looking out for their communities. I think there is better communication. They may be able to do some things more together than you did in the past. Mm-hmm. They're still separate cities with separate concerns, and you still have to overcome the political status that people believe that we're not like them. But yes, in many ways you are. You may be able to work together in some ways that can help each other. The county level, I think there's a lot of that going on. I think
County
Executive Cruiser and Nellegrave, I think they've had discussions how they can help each other. And there's opportunities.
Okay. Yeah. Another connection for each of you is UW Parkside. Tom, you graduate from Case High School, and you have the opportunity to come to Parkside. How do you make that decision? What went into that?
Well, interesting, because I think I mentioned this to you. I ran for Bill Greiton, track and field, 3 years at Case High School, 1 year of cross country, my senior year of cross country. I happened to walk onto a state championship team. Now, I was the number 9 guy on an 8-man varsity team, so take that into account. But the following spring, there is what turned out to be a recruiting trip. The seniors from the Case track team and cross country team were brought down to Parkside. I believe at the time it was the late Orby Moss who was the athletic director. I'm close to that, I think. And so it was recruiting, and they brought us around, and they brought me specifically into the radio television area, which was more television at the time. And they showed us around campus. It was a recruiting trip. Now, I did not come to run at Parkside. I came here for the education. It was the closest thing to me. I'm like 5 minutes away from campus. And I'm going to a school at the time that does not have any dormitories.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
This
is
a commuter campus at the time.
Right.
This is it's just a few years old.
Right.
And I got to tell the story. I love telling this. Anybody who's around here, if I see it, 1 year, $300 for 12 credits.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember at Eau Claire it was three and change, you know, for the full time status.
And so many years later, of course, I got to learn what the real tuition cost is now. but I didn't have any visions of going anywhere else. It was just the place to go for me, anyway. Unlike Jan, who where were you living when you decided to go to IU?
Indiana, but I had only moved from Wisconsin like 3 months before that.
Oh.
So, yeah, three high schools in three states in 4 years. But
your dad worked for DuPont.
Yeah, happened to live.
They moved around.
Happened to live in Indiana at the time. Indiana, Ball State, and I can't think of who the third were the only ones that would accept me as an in-state student, so I want to tell you. Actually, I had moved so soon into my senior year that I was actually eligible to be an in-state student in Wisconsin still. So.
Wow. And you're involved with campus radio at IU. What was that experience like?
The campus radio station at Indiana University was a very unique entity. It was operated by the university, but they paid little attention to us. As long as we didn't get into trouble or do anything that was, as they say, you know, immoral or fattening, they pretty much let us alone. And we had an advertising staff that sold advertising to communities. We had regular DJ shifts and regular newscasts and sportscasts, and ran it like a commercial radio station would in any major city. And, my freshman year, we were all in love with the voice of a disc jockey named Gary Keener, and his sister lived on my floor in the dorm. And so she trooped us all over to meet her brother, Gary. And I just thought the place was really cool, and they had an opening for a traffic director, the person who schedules the commercials. I took the job, and the rest, as they say, is history.
But you did a lot of other things, too. You did, you wrote sports.
Oh, yeah, it was the
Quiz questions
for a radio trivia, radio trivia for Bloomington Bandstand on Thursday night, which was run by a gentleman named Larry Hoffman, who went on to be a dentist in St. Louis. I believe he's a dentist in St. Louis. And Mike Uselin, who has produced a couple of the Batman movies.
Wow.
So.
And one of the more famous IU alumni right now is still on WBBM in Chicago. Bob Roberts.
Bob Roberts.
Oh, okay.
Went to school, and we both worked at the campus radio station. Along, if there's any comic files out there, you might know the name of Roger Stern, who wrote for both DC and Marvel Comics, Batman, Superman.
Wow.
Not bad.
Yeah. No.
Not bad at all. So,
Tom, when you come to Parkside as an undergraduate, and I thought it was interesting in one of your emails that you sent to me where you said it was a tour of the place, including what was then the rat department, and I had to go, rat department? Oh, radio and television.
They had rat.
Yeah, we were rat, yeah.
Oh, okay.
which my sophomore year, they changed to telecommunications. I was horribly disappointed.
Oh, yeah. The rat department's much better.
Because at IU, there probably could have been radio, television.
Yeah. What was going on at Parkside in those days from a radio and TV standpoint?
Not much in terms of radio. Mm-hmm. TV, there was a production facility, and what was the entranceway off would be close to the Rita now.
Right, yeah.
And it was right there. In fact, I took I don't know if I should tell this story. Dave Campbell, he was the instructor for the production, TV production class that I took.
Okay.
Because I was looking for communications class. That's what I want. I'm a communications major at Parkside, and there's no radio specific. So I'm taking any communications course. I thought TV would be fun. Well, that involved a lot of work and actually scheduling time to do all that stuff. And you know how things go in college. They kind of get backtracked, and you fall behind on certain things. And Dave Campbell was the instructor at the time, and I was also working in radio at that time, what was WFNY, 92.1 FM, which eventually became stationed at RJN.
Right.
It's a whole other story. So I'm doing this part-time and going to school, and Dave Campbell, because I'd kind of fallen behind on all that stuff, he actually gave me credit for radio in the TV category in the production. So
yeah.
I was very grateful to him for that. Yeah, there was no campus radio station that I was aware of, not like this, and certainly not with any equipment like this.
Yeah.
Kind of nice stuff here.
Yeah,
not
we
bad.
Have microphones and soundboard and everything.
I'd go, do the classes. If I had a chance to go home, I'd go home and I'd come back and do whatever. There was couldn't find parking. There was none of the parking lots like we've got now.
No.
Shuttle bus from over by Talon Hall.
Yeah.
Or worse, way, way down. At the far end, where the We Energy stuff is all now.
right. Yeah, they've archives is just, I think it's completely finished, where they digitized the past Parkside Ranger newspapers.
Nice.
And so I just was searching through there, and it was preparing for the show we did with Bill Sabansky and Roddy Dmitrijevic and Malcolm Mahone. And so I'm going through, and here's pictures of cars parked every which way.
Oh, yeah.
out there in that area. Like, oh, there's a parking problem here at Parkside, and they're up on, parked on the dirt and wherever just to find a place to put the car.
And I'm still going to school here, and RJN was carrying Parkside basketball games, and they're in the NAIA tournament all the time.
Right.
And Gary Sewer is calling the games from Kansas City at the tournament all the time.
Yeah.
And we've got some audio in our archives now that we have in our possession. That we have Gary calling, some of the players, Gary Cole at the time,
right.
And some of the others.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I remember coming here.
Yeah, interesting. Now, when I first learned that you guys were married, and I looked at your, back to the marriage thing, he's going to stay with that, but, and I look at your schedules, and I know from the emails that, Tom, I would get from you that you're sending emails at some ungodly hour of the morning, like 2 or 3 or whatever it is. And
I've already been up a few hours.
and Janet, I see you at committee meetings or council meetings at 8, 9, 10 o'clock at night. And I think.
And 9, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning.
At 9 to 11 o'clock in the morning. I thought, is it the perfect marriage because you don't see each other? Or how does that work? It's just like when.
Probably help. It's been interesting since we've retired because we've been together constantly, which is something we were not used to at all. There would literally be times where we'd pass each other driving.
Oh, my gosh.
Going to and from work.
Yeah.
And we wouldn't see each other for over a day.
At least, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
It's just the way it was. That was the job.
Get to a late meeting and meeting to go to 11 o'clock or 12, and I'd be at the station finishing up my work. My stories were over, and he'd come in.
stay out of her way.
And stay out of my way so I could finish up and go home. And then, you know, maybe the next day when I would come in, he would still be there and he'd leave. And that would be, you know, that's how we would see one another for 2 or 3 days when, like, budget time when it's just crazy.
Wow.
I don't miss that.
No. that's a crazy schedule. But yet, knowing that, you know, if you're going to do the news and put out news that is of value, how else are you going to get that, that content?
You got to go to the meetings. You got to go to the press conferences. We also got some help from, we had a partnership with Dave Cole, who's well known in this community as well, and was worked with Jan in Kenosha at LIP. Okay. And so we had a little partnership going at the end where we traded things back and forth. And that was really helpful because we couldn't get to certain things. Dave wanted something maybe from us where we were. And so we just kind of worked it out. Yeah. Logistics. Yeah.
So basically, radio and TV stations aren't as competitive as you might think they are.
Yeah.
And there's a little bit of this, you know, a little elbow nudging. And do you know about this going on? So.
Yeah. And I got an email from Dave the other day that he was interested in maybe running some WIPZ promos on GTD, if we would run some GTD promos on WIPZ. And the student manager here, you know, they're excited about that opportunity, a way to get more awareness for the station.
That's great.
At certain levels, you've got to do partnerships. That's the only way it's going to work anymore, because it's more difficult to do the jobs that we were doing or that you're trying to do now.
Right.
Because you have less resources, less time, and it's much more complex putting it all together.
Yeah, yeah. What, now, your son graduated, is it 2 or 3 years ago?
15.
15, so it's...
I had to look at the picture.
No.
So
yeah, I'm not a dates person.
How did...
I'm so lucky.
I don't know when anything happened.
How did...
Birthdays, anniversaries, I'm so lucky.
but you're news people, you got to know dates, right? You got to have all those things.
There was literally a time where we were sitting in our living room one night, and we took note. We had an anniversary just a few days ago.
Yeah. Oh, I guess you're right.
Oh, happy anniversary, dear. Happy anniversary, dear.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Was the conversation, you know, because you both did the same thing, you're not even just like, oh, I'm in radio in this market or in radio in that market, that you're doing the same thing. Was the shop talk? Did you have to find a time where you say, okay, no shop talk. We got to stop now.
Not really.
Rarely. I always like to say when we were out in public, say at when we did media forums, things like that, the best thing about, you know, that we worked together is that it just cut down on those staff meetings tremendously. we were talking about things all the time.
Right.
Because that's just was the nature of the beast. Yeah. And we still talk about a lot of things.
Yeah.
It's just not as much.
We haven't turned the scanners off yet. Yes,
police scanners, we think it'd be way too quiet in the house otherwise. And so we hear something, and I can still hear things.
Yep.
I can't hear a lot of things generally because of the, you know, that many years in the business, but I can still hear things that catch my attention on the police scanner.
Yep. Yeah. Certain words or tones.
So, TV, go to mute. Okay, fine. Yeah, back to it.
Yeah.
And we still pay attention to what's going on, just not as closely as we did.
Yeah. I remember one night during, I was in between careers and working part-time at the Journal Times, and on the scanner, here comes, there's a police officer, and, you know, I'm sitting a ways away from the scanner and I'm hearing this. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, you know, this is, what's going on out there? And one of the news reporters said, oh, nothing. He's just running and he's out of breath. Don't worry about it. just let it go.
You worked at the Journal Times.
I did.
What'd you do?
Mostly in sports. I had a, when I was at Park High School, I had the good fortune of Vern Winkie, who has recently passed, was on the Summers board for years. And he was an English instructor at Park. And he worked with Vern Hoffman.
Yep.
Vern Hoffman was editor-in-chief and said, oh, you should have an internship for high school students. So I got in the Journal Times in 1970, either late 71 or early 70, maybe late 71, and had that internship. And one of the decisions I had to make was I was writing sports and did a little bit of news, mm-hmm. you know, a little bit, mostly sports.
Whenever they needed it, yeah.
Yeah, and they said, oh, you should stay. You know, you should stay mm-hmm. after high school. And I said, no, I have to go get my journalism degree. I'm going to Eau Claire. And they said, oh, you could go to Parkside and get a degree. And what I think back now is, you know, if I would have stayed there, I probably could have gotten my degree and still had the experience of working at a daily. And it may have been, you know, similar if I'd wanted to pursue that. I loved Eau Claire. I had a good time there. And my only Parkside story of the Journal Times years was I wanted to cover a Parkside game because I knew that, like, Chuck Chambliss was playing, you know, Park High School star. And Ralph Trower, the editor, said, we do not go to the playgrounds to cover basketball. You can't go. And
we can't go.
Can't go. And I just kept working. And finally said, okay, good. Go ahead.
Just get on.
Go cover a game. And they're playing at Memorial Hall.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh. So it didn't have the now the Sports and Activity Center.
Right.
But the DeSimone Gymnasium didn't have that up.
No.
So I go to the Memorial Hall, and there's the chairs set around the court and ready, and out comes Parkside, and they're warming up, and there's Chuck Chambliss, now Jamil Gwari, and the other team doesn't show.
Oh, man. No.
So after about 30 minutes, I'm back in the Journal Times office, and they said, what are you doing back here? I said, well, the other team didn't show. I told you so. Well, you can't go do that.
You'd mentioned the Journal Times, and I only brought it up because my dad was circulation manager there for many, many years,
and
then became community relations manager after that.
Interesting.
Before he retired.
Yeah.
There's a connection to the newspaper as well.
Right.
And, of course, our WRJN was owned by the
Racine Journal News
up until the late 60s.
Right.
And then that's when RJN became a separate standalone news department. It had always been connected to the paper. The announcers were reading what the newspaper had sent on a little wire service, whatever.
Yeah.
And after that, Don Edmark was hired from Kenosha to come set up a news department at RJN in 1969.
Right.
And he retired in 86. Gary Sewer took over until 98, and I was there from 98 until just recently, 2018.
Yeah. Gary was when I was a much younger person and my parents would take me to Lutheran High basketball games. Gary was nice enough to let me sit next to him, and every once in a while he'd go, John, who did that? And I'd say something. It was like, oh my gosh, and I'd just tell Gary Sewer with a radio broadcast.
Couldn't catch everything. It was that he had a tough job.
Yeah,
did a lot of things.
Yeah, he's just sitting up there in the stands with some little pack or whatever he's got to do those, you know, back then. So. So what's on the horizon for Tom and Jan?
We're still trying to figure that out.
We're only,
I mentioned, 2 months into this.
Yeah.
And the free time has been great. The not going to meetings and getting up at, for me, it was midnight and coming in and then having to go to meetings. It was a full day sometimes. There'd be 18-hour days.
Right, right.
And as you get older, it tends to wear you down.
Sure.
And so... I don't know what's going to happen. We've had the ability to travel, which within a few weeks we decided to just travel around the state. So we did that.
Where did you go?
We just went up north.
We did the Great Waterfall Tour. We ended up at three of the state parks that have waterfalls.
Right. Fantastic stuff. There's some great scenery out there.
Went up and looked at my old house in Washburn. I lived in Washburn for a couple of years, which is, if you want to talk about up north, that's up north. That's halfway between Bayfield and Ashland.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
Went up there. And then, you know, I haven't seen my mother in a while. And so we took a trip out to Virginia.
Most recently,
visit my mom. And
wow.
Went into the Space Museum at Dulles International Airport, Smithsonian, where they have a space shuttle.
Discovery is there.
Yeah. So I'm online going, okay, what are we going to see if we go there? And I see space shuttle. I'm going, okay, I'm going. if anybody else wants to come, that's fine. I'm still going.
Fascinating stuff. And then we went on the way back home for the last time. Third time in at the U.S. Air Force Museum in Dayton, Ohio, where they've had, and we've seen this is now third time, the plane that brought JFK back from Dallas. They also have mock-up of the shuttle and a whole bunch of other fascinating
things. It's a really great place. So that was the great plane tour.
Wow.
So that's what we've been doing.
Just catching up.
We've got so many things that we have not been able to do at home. We've got to digitize just so many photographs. Unbelievable. And that's just family stuff.
Wow.
I have radio station history that I want to digitize and audio. I've got cassette tapes. Remember cassette tapes?
Yeah.
I've got boxes of them that I've got to put into the computer to do, but I got to go listen to it. The last time I had to do that was when I did the 90th anniversary program,
right?
The retrospective, and I had to go listen back through all those things. There are actually some things I'd forgotten that had taken place.
Yeah.
So that's going to be a part of it. Otherwise, we're just going to take it easy.
And you start listening to those archive tapes, and it's like the time just flies by, doesn't it? You don't know where the time went.
Yeah, and we've been so lucky to have acquired so many things over the years. When I came to RJN in the summer of 79, there were no archives. There was nothing.
Wow.
So whatever happened, we built up, and we were given some things. I've had the great privilege of connecting with family members of people who worked there over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Who've given me materials, pictures, audio.
Yeah,
it's been a great thing, and I guess I'm the caretaker of this stuff because there's nobody left than the original group that has the direct connection. You know, there's still Mike Clemens is still there, who's a great guy, tells great stories,
mm-hmm.
and he's of course connected with the Packers, and they got a few things going on lately.
Yeah, just a few.
Great guy to listen to and to hear stories from. You've got Lou Turner behind the scenes who's doing things, and you've got Van McNeil in the afternoons, who's a great guy. There's good people still working there. We're just not there anymore, but the history of RJN will live on in some capacity from this point, from the point we left. It's just not the same but when we got into it.
Sure.
I don't think any job is anymore.
No, you know, everything changes a bit. But even to see WRJN, where not only is it available at 1400 AM,
right,
but also now available on the FM, mm-hmm. so that if, you know, you're talking a little bit about trying to get more into Kenosha a little bit from the Racine station, and now here's a FM station in Kenosha where you can get WRJN just fine, you know, and hear that, where before maybe you could or couldn't.
Yeah,
know,
people asked about that. It's basically just expanding the signal that's available and finding it in a different area. But it's the same signal.
Right. Well, I appreciate you taking time away from your travels to Wisconsin and Virginia and Ohio to come and talk with us on Parkside today. Congratulations on exceptional careers in radio here in southeastern Wisconsin, and all the best going forward. Janet Hoff and Tom Carco with us today on Parkside Today.